Jesus' name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Just bow our heads as we open the service this morning. Lord, we truly appreciate all you've done. Lord, your guiding hand and protection on us. Lord, to be able to bring us to this moment where we can gather in this little place that you provided for us here, Lord. And give us an opportunity to again hear you speak to us through thy word. Judge ourselves, and Lord, be able to grow in you. Father, we pray for revelation this morning, Lord, of whatever you have for us. Each individual one may get a different revelation this morning, depending on where we are in our walk with you. But Lord, you know all things, know all about us. And Father, we just ask that you would just have your way, for we know you. You know what's best for us. And Lord, we thank you for that care and guidance you give us. So bless us now, each and every one. Lord, may you get the glory and honor and praise in every phase of the service we ask. And may your will be done in everything. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy to be out.
Amen.
Amen. No place I'd rather be. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you like. Amen. Turn with me in our big books there. I'd like to start on page 94. Amen. A meeting in the air. Sing a little bit about what we have to look forward to. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. Oh, you have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale you often see. Oh, there are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. I am by the Lord, will surely let us meet them at the meeting.
Amen. What a day. Hallelujah.
Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you would hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be a leading one at the meeting in the air. Many things there will be missing in the meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner has refused to heed the call. Oh, there will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. Oh, there will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. While burdens and our anguish will be lifted at the meeting. Amen. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do. Together, all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the aching will
will have his seal upon their forehead. Dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the ready garment will be present at the meeting.
That day, it's going to be a joyous day, saints. Hallelujah. Right there beside, across the our Lord's return, page 98. Amen. Are you watching? Every day. Hallelujah.
I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, our hearts are filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Amen. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's sorry cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth and sea and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry. When our Savior shall come back to earth again. Amen. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all our holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without a Lord. After Jesus shall come back earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet relief. For our Jesus to come back. Oh, come quickly, Lord. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back.
Coming back. Hallelujah. Coming back for you and me. Amen. Page 200. Let's sing that before we quit. Amen. I am bound for the promised land. Amen.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye.
Let's start with the chorus.
I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye toward Canaan's
fair. Amen. I don't think we know that.
Amen. Praise his name. Bound for the promised land, though. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. Amen. What we'll do. Amen. Amen. Page 53. Sweet by and by. Hallelujah. There's a land that is fairer than they. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way. Oh, to prepare us a dwelling place there. Oh, in the sweet, oh, by and by, we shall meet. By and by, oh, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow. Not a sigh for the blessings of rest. Amen. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, in the sweet by and by, oh, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. For sure, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. Oh, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen.
Oh, what we have to look forward to, saints, is just around the corner. Any day now, His face we'll see. Amen. Praise His name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up and take up the offering? That's the blessing. Amen. I am determined. I've made up my mind.
I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind,
may have a request for him this morning on your heart, something bothering you, maybe a need you have. Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we pray. Amen. Brother Josh, would you like to take the request this morning?
Precious Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing and privilege once again, Lord, as we say so many times. Lord, it's just, Lord, when we come in here, Lord, to feel your Holy Spirit. Lord, lay all the things of the world aside, all the cares, Lord. And Lord, know we have steps to climb in you, and you're going to help us get there, Lord. And Lord, if we don't come in here and have something to praise you for, Lord, we got a long way to go. Lord, because there's so many things, Lord, you've done for us. Lord, I'm sure each one of us can find something in our lives, Lord, that you've blessed us with. Lord, your word, your revelation, everything you've done for us, Lord, we ought to be so thankful. Lord, we come here, Lord, with needs still in our lives, Lord, whether it be financial, physical, Lord, just a touch from you, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, we ask you to bless us for your perfect will this day. Lord, just have your perfect way in the reign of the service. Lord, as the word comes forth, Lord, let us just reach out, Lord, by faith and grab a hold of it, Lord, and bring it into our lives, Lord, and make it live every day. Lord, we just ask all of this now in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name. You want to sing this morning still? Amen. Little daughters want to sing. Song selection change. Amen. Has anyone else got a song? Got something this morning? Amen. All right, let's all stand if you would then. Praise his name. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Let's ask our brother to come. Only believe.
Father, we are so thankful again for this precious time that you've given us, Lord, to gather here this morning. And Lord Jesus, we realize that again a tremendous thing has taken place that allows us to be here. Lord, grace has been magnified. Mercy, Lord. Oh, how we appreciate you with all our hearts. We ask today again, Lord, as we have gathered here, that you would open our hearts to the Word of God. Give us the Word, Lord, with revelation, Father, understanding of the Word of God. And Father, we would know what it takes to please you. For without faith, it is impossible to please you. So, Lord, we ask for that faith today. The Lord, that we would please you, Lord, in all that we do and say and think, places we go, whatever we do, Lord, we would please you. So we ask now that you just have your preeminence over everything that's said and done. And Father, may your word be magnified in our hearts above all. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. You may be seated for a moment. I'd like to read a quote here that Brother Branham spoke before we stand back up to read Scripture. And I'm sure you all have read it before, but I want you to think of this as we read it in the time in which we live and what God is expecting and what he's looking for. But this is in the Message. Christ is revealed in his own word, paragraph 161. He says, "We're in the last days and the last hours of the days. Do you see him now in his word and all of his word made manifest right here before us? O Church of the Living God, get your feet and believe him with all that's in you. Hold to that little wheel in the middle of the wheel and let it stabilize every move, every motion that you make, and every thought that you have. May it be controlled by this tower on the inside of you, because God is sitting right in his word at this hour in the evening light, showing forth the light." Amen. Such a simple little scripture, or I could say scripture, quote, but it's God speaking to his people. Amen. And thinking of today, how everything is definitely fighting, coming against, trying to destroy the bride. May not be seeing a physical battle going on as far as, you know, devils coming down and smacking you and hitting you and trying to kill you with maybe a sword or whatever. But how we can see that Satan truly is going about as a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if you've ever, maybe you've seen wildlife videos before of lions, and you've seen how they are seeking something to devour it, sneaking around. As big as they are, they walk very smoothly and very quietly, and trying to be unnoticed, and waiting for that moment to jump and destroy and to kill whatever its prey may be at that time. And Satan's doing the same thing. He is so crafty. And he's truly going about. That's the thing people miss, is him going about. He's not standing still. know, when that lion's going out for its prey, it's going about. And it wants to kill. It wants to eat upon the flesh of whatever it kills. And as I said, Satan, as the scripture says, is doing the same thing today in this hour. And, of course, again, to get his prey, whatever it may be, whether it be an antelope or a zebra or whatever it may be, the object of the whole thing is to try to get as close as possible it can to that animal. Try to be unnoticed as much as possible until it makes its jump. And then usually, once in a while, they may not be able to take its prey, depending on what's going on and what the rest of the herd does that's around them. But most of the time, when that lion has gotten its position to make its jump, oftentimes it's too late. Because the prey didn't notice that the roaring, seeking lion that was going about wasn't noticed. Everything's thought to have been normal and the way it should be. But yet, because of being unnoticed, and then the lion made us jump, it's too late. And oftentimes that's the way it is in the spiritual. But the only thing different with the sons and daughters of God, they have been warned. They've been warned that the roaring lion is going about and trying to seek whom he can destroy. It isn't like the prey out there. Oftentimes it's not been warned. But in this case, in the spiritual, we have been warned. Many, many times we have been warned that the roaring lion is seeking whom he may devour. And we realize that that devil isn't going to stop until the Lord returns to take his own back with him. But until that time, Satan will always be trying to seek you and try to destroy you. But the tactic is in a way that you'll never notice. That it'll be done so easily and taken time to do it. Won't be nothing rash and quick. Sometimes a lion oftentimes takes a lot of time to get to his prey. He may move a few feet and then he'll lay there and wait. And watch and scope out the whole situation. And hunt for the weak point. To see where the weakest point is. And that's when he knows he can has a better chance of getting his prey. And Satan knows that. Satan knows and watches for your weakest point. And sometimes we don't realize what our weakest point is. That's the problem. Sometimes we just don't catch it and don't see it. But again, one thing about it, God knows everything. He knows everything. He searcheth the reins. He knows our thoughts. Knows our hearts. Knows what we're going to say before we even say it. Knows what we're going to think before we even think it. He's God. Amen. So, in saying that, and you may wonder, well, what's this got to do with what you're going to do, Brother Stephen, what you're going to bring? Well, I think we'll see if we just open our eyes. There'll be things said in this today that if you'll pay attention, you might catch a glimpse off the side or maybe a little bit lower area or something like that where Satan is trying to devour you. So let us stand. Let's read our scripture reading again. And we're going to go back into that little message we read a couple, I don't know, it's been on, I believe it was on Thursday evening. And it's talking about the presence of God and realizing or recognizing that God is in our presence. Just like today, when we came through those doors, the Holy Ghost was waiting on us. How did we approach God as we walked through those doors? Or did we even think about Him being here today? But He's here.
Amen.
He's here. And some of us has missed the mind of the Lord as we walk through those doors. Again, God's warning goes forth before judgment. Don't never forget that. Isaiah 6, and let's begin the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain or with two, He covered His face. And with twain or two, He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, or the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then hear this young prophet Isaiah. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am undone. Look what this presence of God done to this prophet. I am undone. I am undone. And until the Lord comes, friends, we're undone. But what if we don't recognize we're undone? Is there a crying out for revelation? Is there a seeking God for a deeper walk with God? No, without recognizing the presence of God being there, you don't know He's there. Oftentimes there's no search and cry out for a deeper walk and for the precise way that God expects. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. Now I want to read here in the Message Influence, and then we'll hit on some things here in a little bit. But just kind of set in order as the prophet did in this Message Influence, August 3rd, 1963. And we'll begin on paragraph 63. And I want you to pay real close attention to everything he is saying. And again, trusting that you will be hungry today a greater walk with the Lord. And we find out this king died in disgrace. Now he's talking about King Uzziah, that this prophet Isaiah, young prophet Isaiah, was dealing with. And lived around and esteemed so with great respects toward Uzziah and how he stood on things and so forth. And we find out this king died in disgrace, a leper. Then he was a lesson to the young prophet, not to put his hopes upon any man, but to look to God only. When he began to look to a man for an example, this man failed. Yet being a good man, so it's a lesson to us tonight. Don't you remember, that's what this is all about. It's a lesson to us. And everything that we're going to read today, it's a lesson to us. So it's a lesson to us tonight to keep our minds upon the Lord. Maybe you thought he was going to say something else. But it's a lesson to us to keep our minds upon the Lord. Regardless of what man is, or what man it is, let him be cardinal, priest, prophet, whatever he might be, he is not immune from mistakes and error, even death and sin. But there is one who is, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the one. By this Isaiah learned a lesson. God orders his man to place. A man has no right to take up and say, well, I'll make an easy living if I was a minister. I believe I'll study the ministry. I believe I'll do this, that, or the other. I believe if I can impersonate this gift that God has given, I'd have a great campaign and so forth. We'd see how much, he said, we see so much of that today. But when you find out Isaiah found a lesson here, that God places his man himself. And God does the placing. And he never made this man a priest. Talking about Uzziah. He made him a king. And he ought to abide a king. Isaiah learned here that you mustn't try to take another man's place. Then, when he saw his great hero had come to this disgrace and went down and died, Isaiah felt then pretty near all hopes for him was gone. So he went down to the temple one day to talk it over with the Lord, and that's where the vision happened. And at the temple, he saw the one that he was supposed to be looking at all the time. At the temple, he saw the one that he was to be looking at all the time. Just like you and I, every one of us, are to be looking at all the time. And to recognize the presence of that all divine. In the temple he saw in a vision, God sitting high on a throne, exalted way in the heavens, and his train was with him. This vision he saw high lifted up, his throne way above every earthly domain. And God, that's, he said, and God, that's the one that has supposed to, or that he was supposed to look at, which was God. When he was in the vision. And then we notice this, that the heavenly servants was flying back and forth in the temple. Now the servants, actually, the Hebrew word there means burners. They were the one who offered incense and the sacrifice. It's just a higher order of angels that makes the way for the sinner. As long as there's a sacrifice, see, and their servants, see, especially these burners, had a special office. They stayed right in the presence of God, just like we're supposed to understand. We stay in the presence of God. Yeah. Remember, this is all a lesson to Isaiah. And this lesson to Isaiah is passed down to the bride. Okay? Remember, these things were written for our admonition. Were they not? Amen. Absolutely. They're the same as the cherubims, and they were right in the presence of God, just like you and I are right now, are in the presence of God. And when this prophet felt the Spirit of God on him, I wonder when the last time we felt the Spirit of God upon us. When is the last time you felt
the Spirit of God upon you. You see, you were so born for that purpose. So was you. Born for the purpose. For the presence of God to be upon you and in you. Last time you felt that presence. It was like dropping from here into a land like he was dreaming. He saw God's throne exalted so high. And then he looked into the temple, and these seraphims was going back and forth through the temple crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Holy, holy, the Lord God." What a change. What a change. What change? From going to looking up to a man, and all his respect, looking to a man, let's just say human being, and all his attention given to a human being. You know, everybody around here has got human beings around you. You're sitting beside a human being. Everybody sitting here has a loved one. Everyone sitting here has a part of somebody that's in your life. So lots of human beings. But who is the most important one in your life? Brother Stephen, no, wait a minute. I love my family, absolutely. But who's the most important one in your life? He that can't hate father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, for my sake, is not even worthy. Not even worthy to be his. Not even worthy to be in his presence. No. But who's your first love? What a change and what an influence this must have been upon this young prophet when he saw the failure of man. And although good men would fail, but now he sees God and he saw these seraphims. Now a change took place. When he's seen God and he's seen these seraphims. And what these seraphims, how they were treating God. How these seraphims was respecting God. Wow. And then he has to take a moment, Isaiah does, he has to look at himself and think, wow, I've had a whole wrong view of things. A complete disaster in my life. I didn't look up to God like I was supposed to. But now that I've seen God, and I see these seraphims and how they honor God, wow, I'm a different person. That's what Isaiah did. He says, and notice the special covering these seraphims had. They was covered with two wings over their face. And two wings over their feet. And they was flying with two wings. God is altogether holy. Oh, what manner of people we ought to be. You know, Brother Branham was talking about, I didn't bring it with me, but it was a message, I think the first time he talked about it back in the 50s, a Danny Green or Greenland or something like that, I can't remember the last name, had its experience of going before God at the great white throne judgment. You know, and everything, actually Brother Timothy mentioned not too long ago, but everything looked so good. And he served the Lord, he was a minister and so forth, and everything looked so good in his life to his own self. until he got into the presence of God. And he had to stand before God, and God asked him, I remember he's feeling pretty good about himself. But then God asked him, Danny, did you ever lie? Wow. Danny knew down through his life he'd lied. And wow, his bubble got busted really easy when he had to stand in the presence of God in reality. Then he asked him, did you ever steal? He got to thinking, yes, I stole. My, look how quickly Danny's world turned upside down by getting in the presence of God. And that's what Isaiah is talking about. I'm undone. Everything was looking good to himself until he got into the presence of God. And how still, even to this day, an age and time we're living in, when we cannot really fully comprehend and see we're in the presence of God, but we still think we're okay. And how many times have I mentioned a scripture to us that I believe it's the Holy Ghost wanting us to know? But don't never, never, never measure yourself up by yourself. That is so unwise. But the trouble is, we can't measure ourselves up until God's Word comes forth in His presence. His Holy Spirit. And then even sometimes yet we can't measure ourselves up because we got our minds on so many things and our life is wrapped up in so tight into this living. Yeah. Oh, how, as I said that Thursday night, what would we be acting like right now if the Lord Jesus Christ would come up here and stand in front of you? No hoax, no jokes, no playing around. It would be really Him. Wouldn't be Satan impersonating anything. It wouldn't be Him trying to do anything. I'm just saying, if God would allow that, and He'd stand up here before you, I wonder what we would all do. Would there be some maybe come running to Jesus' feet and say, forgive me, Lord. I haven't made this right yet. Forgive me, Lord, my mind hasn't been upon Thee. No, and He's looking right down in the heart of every one of us. And you can't hide nothing. Amen. Nothing. Absolutely nothing can be hid. And we would be sitting there and see Him stand there. What would we do? Would we come running asking the Lord Jesus for mercy? Now, we might sit there like brave Indian chiefs. See, Brother Steve, I got enough revelation. I would sit here just like I am right now, brother. Really think I'm going to believe that? That would show you really don't understand the presence of God. Yeah. Especially for this time of life we are in right now. And how much we still need Him. But what would you do? As an individual. Huh? If we do anything with Him standing here, and looking right down into your heart, and them eyes that you've never seen before. I know it was penetrating down into your soul. And if you moved then, it shows you don't recognize him now. You would find that place that you need him. You would find that place. When's the last time we got on our knees and prayed? Ask God in desperation. Fill your life completely up with his presence, with all that he expects for this hour. When's the last time you cried out to be a real prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? When is the last time? Or has it ever happened? When is the last time when you did do something wrong that you really, with godly sorrow, was so sick of what you'd done and how you did it that you cried out to God in true repentance? When is the last time? When we get done, I'll ask you, do you recognize the presence of God in your life? Or are we just believers? The sad, sloppy, so-called message-believing people that thousands are going to burn in hell. Or are we a people that's different? Because we've recognized the presence of God in reality. I wonder, my brother, I wonder, my sister, if we'll look at that. When holy angels has to cover their face to stand in the presence of God in reverence and in respect. But today we find people who call themselves Christians even has no respect at all for God or his word or his people or his ministry or nothing. Where are they going to come up at the resurrection? The Bible said if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and ungodly? And when seraphims, the highest order of angels, right by the mercy seat, the burners of the sacrifice had to cover their holy faces. Remember, they never done anything wrong. We did. We were born in sin and shape of iniquity. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd really be in bad shape. But these holy seraphims had to cover their face, cover their feet. I want you to notice, God provided it, a way for them to cover their feet and to cover their face. Amen. And to still be in action. Their holy faces had to cover their holy faces to stand in his presence. Here, there was God sitting up there on his throne, and these cherubims going back and forth, screaming day and night. Holy, holy, holy. Remember, Brother Bram said it wasn't just a holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Do you know what I mean? Two wings, they covered their faces. And why? We notice today that because that people have no reverence, they come to church. People will come to church and cut up and laugh and talk, make fun, sing where the gospel is being preached. No reverence at all. Well, Brother Steve, I'm quiet when I come in. I don't talk and I don't. But are we reverencing him? Huh? It's a lot of difference. You can sit here and be quiet, not say a word. But are you reverencing him? One thing about it, I speak to you. Those things that I believe, whether you do or not, that God himself wants me to speak to you. He expects more reverence. He expects your heart and your mind to be in tune to what he's going to do. And to be looking for what he wants done. That's why every office of this church, whether it be a deacon, a song leader, a minister, whoever it is, trustee, everything about us should be in tune. Deacon should come in tune. What did the prophet show us those things? To take care of, be a policeman of the church. Yep. They go to that child and the parents say, hey, this has got to be straightened up. They're watching for every action going on. Make sure nothing's disturbing. Make sure everything's going pleasing to the sight of God. They're in tune to that. Take the song leader. He has cried out and sought God and waited on the Lord for the right exact songs God once sung. Spatial singers, they cry and wait on God to see what God once done. The preacher. Oh, I thought it was only the preacher had to do that. No, it's every person in this building crying out, asking God to move. And to move in their life. For that service. Every service. What are you going to do for me today, Lord? I need you. I need you today, Lord. Oh, God, show me something today. That will get me closer to you. But the problem is, people get out of bed. It's Sunday morning. It's church time. We get dressed, cleaned up, wear our Sunday best, and we walk through the door and we sit down. And mumble a few words to the Lord. Help me this day, Lord. Speak to us through the Word of God. And Lord Jesus, lead us and guide us. Have thine way, Lord. Without any sincerity in their heart whatsoever. Any reverence and respect to him. It has become a form and a fashion. And the irreverence, you know what it is? They're not conscious of the presence of God. That's why there's irreverence. That's why there's no respect. Because people are not really truly, as I said to Thursday night about what he was saying here, they're not truly conscious about the presence of the Lord. And you may think, well, Brother Steve, there you are. You're getting senile again. You don't remember what you said. I remember exactly what I said. But I also knew that that was no more received that night than that clock on the wall. And until I do this again, the Holy Ghost will not quit pecking on my heart. Yeah. But thank God he pecks on the heart of man. Yeah. Jesus said, wheresoever, that's why I can tell you he's standing here tonight, or this morning. You can't see him with your physical eyes, but he is here. Wheresoever two or three are gathered in my name, God doesn't lie, and he doesn't change. And I know some here believe that he is. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. That's the scripture. Then that makes him in a world that we cannot see. But now what if eyesight would make a scientific fact that he's here? And you can see a flesh body. If it took that to get us to recognize that he's here, we sure haven't got what old Moses had. And what many of those old warriors had. Nah. We're like old doubting Thomas. Let me feel them holes in your hands. Let me see that you. I can't really trust you're here, Lord. I can't really believe that you're here. This little group down in the valley. How could I really know that you're here? Lord, I want to feel you. Well, he's here if you want to touch him. If you'll just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I know he's here. I feel his presence. Hallelujah. I know he's here. Do you know he's here? Or is the cares of life choking you so bad that that roaring lion watching the weakness, and he's ready to pounce? And you know the prophet mentioned that there come a time when you'll fool around too much and you'll no longer have any desire to serve him. No. You'll never really have a desire to serve. I'm telling you, that roaring lion has got everything laid around you, all kind of traps. Yeah. And he is trying to get your mind off of, we'll put it this way, get your mind on anything but God. Remember, it started clear back in heaven. Amen. Lucifer. Always wanted to try to outdo God, but God created Lucifer for a reason. But is that Lucifer today, that devil, winning the battle in your life? He says here, then that makes him in a world that we cannot see, that our five senses doesn't contact. Jesus Christ is here, present. If we could be conscious of that. If we could be conscious of that. And remember, not only here, but when you're walking down the street, wherever you are, you that profess to be believers and fear the Lord, remember, the angels of God are moving with you wherever you are. They watch everything you do and every thought that goes through your mind, and they know all about you. Therefore, we must be conscious of that. I said that Thursday night, are we conscious enough of it? Do we think of that when we're our mouths flying? Are we conscious of that when we are doing some of the things we do? Listening to some of the things we may listen to? Are we conscious of that? Angels of God are moving with you wherever you are. They watch everything you do, every thought that goes through your mind. They know all about you. Therefore, we must be conscious of that. If we're not conscious of it, then you act anyway. Yeah. You just never know what will come out. When he knows you're not conscious of it, you will just do about anything. Yeah. So people mostly today, too many people, are we one of them too many people? Too many people are not conscious of the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's the reason they or we have these things that we have going on now. That's not right. Is that why we have what's going on now? That there's times we gather in this building and worship the Lord and sing praises to Him and talk to Him, and you don't feel anything? You don't feel His presence here? Is that why? Oh my. You remember one time in a little sermon I passed out the paper. And I had you write on this little paper what you had on your mind when you come through that door. You remember that? Yeah. It was amazing. At least some of you was honest. But it was amazing what some of you had on your mind when you walked through that door. You know, I kept those pieces of paper. And maybe someday I'll bring them again and just pass them out to you at random. So it'll remind you what people came through that door that was upon their mind. At that time when we did that, we wrote those things upon our mind, was we recognizing that the presence of God was here? Brother Steve, you don't know what I'm going through. I think you forget I'm a human being too, and I'm a man. And there's lots of things that I go through. But I don't dwell upon it. No. I don't get up here and tell you things and let you think to try to get you have a pity party on me. You may think, oh, everything goes so smooth for Brother Steve. Oh, my goodness, everything goes so smooth. Wow. I'm going to tell you this right now. My wife doesn't know 90% of what I go through. My own wife. I'm not looking for a pity party. I'm trusting in God to get me through all these things. Amen. Yeah. I still work too. I deal with devils every day. Like I say, I don't come home crying around to my wife, oh, this went wrong today, and that went wrong, and this went wrong, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and this one stole, and this one done that. No. Really, honestly, I don't think my wife knows 90% of it. Because I only talk to the Lord about these things. Yeah. But Brother Steve ain't without testimony. But I'm determined by the grace of God. I want to walk in the presence of God. Amen. Yeah. And know that He's there. Yeah. You know, we sang a little song today. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord Do you realize what a hypocrite some of us was? You haven't come to a determination yet that you're going to serve God. And when we talk about serving God, we're talking about all these things. Amen. Remember, we've been a long time in this Word, so we can't be treated like babies. Some of us has been in the Word for a long time. Now there's some that's maybe not as mature. It's not had it like some others had. But those that are mature, supposed to be, got a lot to give an account for. A lot. Yeah. That's why I should really cry out to God. To be in the right position with the Lord. And when I walk through that door, I can sing these songs and know that I'm all right with God. Yeah. Brother Steve, I'd have to do some real crying out. Well, you better do some real crying out. Because I'm telling you, you're coming in the presence of God when you walk through those doors. The Lord doesn't lie. Where two or three are gathered in my name, in their midst I shall be. And He is here. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. Is He calling out your name? Oh my. I'll quit there for this morning. I apologize if you expect an evangelistic type message. Something to make you scream and shout. But I'd rather have the foundation really solid before I scream and shout. As Brother Branham said, when you scream and shout and jump, make sure the life's there to back it up. Yeah. I'm telling you, and the Holy Ghost is trying to show you, it's a serious thing to walk through that door. Wow. God don't just allow anybody. Serious thing to come in the presence of God. But He has provided a way. The same thing He did for those servants. That you come before Him in the right way. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Where would we be without it? Amen. Don't you sisters come on up the instruments? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I don't know where really it's where it's at. He is here. Or maybe it's in the little pamphlet. I don't know. What page it is on. Does anybody know where it's at? Amen. Page 99? 299? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, a little chorus. Think about it. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. again.
Is here. Hallelujah. Is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless your name again. He is here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Oh,
your name. He is here. You
can touch him.
Sing one more time. Brother Timothy, come dismiss us.
Is here real quietly.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Saints, if we would come in the spirit that we're in now, the beginning of our services could be just like the endings. How sweet he is. Sing that little chorus. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
I love you. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts before you this night, the morning, Lord, I believe through the word you're trying to show us, Lord, that we can stand here and sing, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. But Lord, singing it here is not enough. But Lord, every minute and day of our lives, it should reflect that, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Lord, when we enter the doors to praise you, to worship you here, it should be on our hearts. Lord, your presence should be ever so overwhelming to us, Lord, wherever we go, that we know that you are with us. And Lord, that you're watching us, watching over us, keeping us. And Lord, how true we should give you praise and glory and honor for what you have done for us. For Lord, every day that we walk down the street or walk through the yard, Lord, or get up to be able to wash dishes in our home, and to know that there's a desire in our hearts to serve you, Lord, and to have health and strength in our bodies, Lord, and a love to you to know that it's only your mercy and grace, Lord, that we're only here for a little while. And Lord, may we truly live as a people that recognize we're only here, Lord, passing through. And Lord, that we are part of the redeemed, a people that have been bought back with a price, Lord. And Lord, may our lives truly atone to that. And all the things that we say and do, Lord, that you are the all in all. You are the great I am, Lord. That all of these things that we say we believe, Lord, would be more of an expression throughout our lives. And Lord, help us as the word has come today, Lord, to take inventory of each of ourselves, Lord, each one of us. Don't look at someone else and say, this was for her, or this is for him. But Lord, each one of us look at ourselves and say, Lord, can I climb higher from this today, Lord? Can I come back the next time, Lord, with my mind more centered to the reason why I'm coming? Lord, you're speaking to individuals here today. And Lord, I know that you've spoke to my heart, Lord, and I thank you. Lord, I thank you that even now I can stand here, Lord, and I know you're here. I can feel your presence. I'm not just speaking words, Lord, or just speaking to be have people hear me. But Lord, you're here. And I thank you, Lord, that you hear us. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown your mercy and grace upon me, Lord. And I thank you. Lord, bring us back if you should tarry, and may we truly come hungry, asking you to feed us whatever it is you would have. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor and praises due you in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. I love him. Amen. I love him. Bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen.